Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Big day, big week here in Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders going to get his first start on Sunday. Now, our next guest, we love to talk a lot of college football with. He joins us most weeks, Thursdays, 4:20. Today, though, you know we got to talk some Shedeur Sanders with him because he has been banging the drum for Shedeur here in Cleveland of the college football news. Pete Futek joining us now on the Fan Hotline. Pete, welcome to the show.
Happy Shedeur Week. The sports radio place, this is the dream. This is everything, right?
I mean, it's been a very kind week to us, yes, because he's going to start. What are your expectations for Shedeur on Sunday?
He'll be awful. Look, he's a rookie. Like, it's all over NFL. It's a problem with the NFL. Like, all my Minnesota Vikings friends, oh, J.J. McCarthy's awful. Well, yeah, he didn't play last year, and he's only, had a couple games in. Like, last year in Chicago, oh, we have to have a talk about Caleb Williams. Well, these guys don't just come out and fling it all over the place and become Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes isn't Patrick Mahomes as a rookie. He didn't start until late in the year. It was Alex Smith who got, the first 12 games. So, he's going to make mistakes. He's not going to be great. He'll play, he's an accurate quarterback. He just needs time to work. They're going to pressure him. And he's not going to be very good. But you know what? This is part of being a rookie quarterback.
Well, it sounds sensible, Pete. That's just not how we operate around these parts for
the
most part.
Of course. He didn't win the Super Bowl yet?
I know, right? It's funny. We have a couple guests on this week already, and at certain points, either Nick or myself had to be like, it was a half of a football game. Like, what are we really doing here?
Yeah, no, again, you can't. I know there's a day, that day's over now where, you got a guy a year and a half. So remember, Peyton Manning was miserable his first year. As a through like 18 interceptions or something.
It was 28 actually.
Yeah, or something insane. Like, again, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to make excuses right out of the gate, but temper the expectations. I mean, who knows if he's good? And the only way you never know is give the guy time, and then all of a sudden the game maybe slows down for him next year. So all you're looking for is, get Judkins going, get that running game working, take the pressure off him, and see if he can at least look like he's got potential or down the road that there's something there.
Pete, is this Ohio State team better than last year's Ohio State team?
No, it's not. And last year's team was kind of, it was better. I told you guys all year, it was the best team in the country from the start. It just had a little head case problem when it came to, getting out of its own way against Michigan. And that Oregon team was even better than this year's team. This team's good, but it doesn't have the experience. It doesn't have quite the overall guys. And the other part about this too is they haven't played anybody since August. Look, I mean, this is going to be the fifth straight game that they're going to go against a team that's not going to go to a bowl game. So it's not been an actual killer. They're doing performance art. It's great. They're getting a bunch of live scrimmages in. And I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying that they can't win an actual championship. But let's just kind of wait and see a little bit here because they should destroy Rutgers. It's not going to be a problem. And they'll beat Michigan. I don't want to go there yet, but come on. If they don't beat Michigan, it's their own fault. But when they get to that tournament, I'm not sold on anybody right now, but Georgia and Notre Dame being all that great. But Ohio State's right there. But in terms of talent, no, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be the number one team and shouldn't win the national championship again. But this is not the same team as last year.
Yeah, that is interesting because all last year, Pete, you just kept banging the drum. Like, they're going to win it. They're going to win it. They're going to win it. And then I've not heard that same thing from you this year.
No, because we don't know. I mean, they haven't had any drama. I mean, they had the Arch Manning had the ball in his hands in the final drive. That was about it. Everything else has been a live scrimmage for this team. And give it, it's on them. They're great. You don't get to this point in the season being as dominant as you are in the Big Ten, no matter who you've played, without being really, really awesome. I'm not saying they're not going to win the national championship. I'm just saying it's not the, you know, the coronation like, you know, it might be considered by some. You know, but they're awesome. This is a great team. But we just don't know because they haven't played anybody in a month. And who knows? What happens when Julian Sand gets some pressure on him? Who knows when that running game has to rely on? Who knows when they have to actually perform when it really matters? And we are going to find out next week.
Pete, do you think Julian Sand ends up in the top three in Heisman voting?
Only because who the heck else is there? You know, look, there's usually, and I keep saying this as a Heisman voter, wait until the conference championships because, you know, I guess I voted for Bryce Young, you know, a few years back because of what he did late in the season. And last year, Scattaboo went from not on my Heisman finalist list to number two because, you know, he turned out to be the Big 12 player, best player of the Big 12 when he carried him to the college football playoff and for what he did in the Big 12 championship. So let's see. I mean, if Ohio State destroys Indiana and Mendoza's awful, well, there goes that. Ty Simpson pretty much ended it last week. Jeremiah Love doesn't have any games left to play. I'm not going to do the Jacob Rodriguez thing. But the problem with Sain is it's, you know, I'm not dogging him in any way. He's an NFL starter. He's really good. He's going to be great. He's probably like the fifth best player on this team? I mean, Caleb Downs, even though the stats aren't there, is probably the best player if it's not Jeremiah Smith. You know, so this team's just so loaded. He would be the representative of the number one team in the country in a Gino Toretta sort of way. But only because there's no one else there. But he'll get his shot. If he rocks against Michigan and is brilliant against Indiana, yeah, Heisman's probably his.
Do Alabama fans have a right to be mad with how the rankings came out?
No, it's fine. And actually, it's they caught a break. But they need more help than I think they actually believe. At some point, we're going to have a talk about BYU. Because BYU, if they go 11-1 and their one loss is to Texas Tech, and then they lose again in the Big 12 championship, God forbid they win it, because then what do you do? Alabama's kind of in trouble. Notre Dame's should be less comfortable than it is, but the committee loves them, and they're not going to knock them down any further than this. Notre Dame got ranked too high from the beginning, and now they're just not going to change it. So it is Alabama. But if Alabama comes out and destroys Auburn, then I think it's over. And Alabama's probably going to play for the SEC championship after all the tiebreakers happen. But they do have the resume. I think the SEC is overrated, but they did beat Georgia. They did beat Vanderbilt by double digits, even though as investors know that was kind of a weird double-digit game. But it should not be quite as comfortable as they might feel right now.
Pete, did you like James Franklin to Virginia Tech?
I still like James Franklin at Penn State, but that's just me. So, yeah, he's a very, very good head coach. You know, he's a coach who should have gone maybe somewhere even bigger. I wanted him at Wisconsin. But, okay, it's Virginia Tech. That's a place he can win at right away. He can certainly recruit. He's certainly good enough. The whole argument, oh, well, you can't win the big games. Well, there aren't a lot of big games in the ACC. So if he wins all the little ones, and the medium-range ones, Virginia Tech will be just fine. And at a place like that, in a conference like that, the goal is be in the ACC title hunt every year. And, yeah, that's not that high a bar to set for a guy like Franklin to sort of match.
I heard Petiti the other day talking about how he wants to make this now like 20. Yeah, that's all I think about. But like he wanted to make this like 24 teams, and he's a TV guy. Oh, what else is he going to think? He's always going to want to try to go for these money grabs and try to make as many games televised as he can. He's talking about getting rid of the Big Ten title game in the process and putting the playoff game there. And it's like, all right, fine, do whatever you want to do. But I do wonder if it's turning people off. And I know you have metrics and you have your own site that you go off of and everything. But do you feel like there's less interest in college football with all the changes that have been made and how it feels so playoff heavy now, way more than it used to be? Or is it just not that way and it's just a me problem?
The difference is that more teams care. Because right now, you're fired up if you're a BYU fan or a Texas Tech fan or a Miami fan or a Notre Dame fan. Because, like, you know, or look, last year, Alabama's out of the college football playoff after the Michigan loss. You know, so, like, you have room to spill. You know, you can lose two games and still be alive in this. Oklahoma fans are now back in. It's just, you have way more teams engaged than before. Look at the ACC, the old college football playoff four team thing. Nobody would pay attention to the ACC again. Notre Dame's season would have been over in the second week of the season. Mm-hmm. There's all these different programs that now are still alive and there are storylines behind them. And now the ACC championship matters. Virginia versus Georgia Tech, probably. Now you've got those fan bases who kick in. And so, look, if you're a North Texas fan right now, if you're a San Diego State fan or a James Madison fan, you're a little fired up. So on the whole, it's a good thing. If you expand it further, then it becomes college basketball and the regular season doesn't matter as much. But I do like the idea of somehow the conference championship games being folded in, because now this whole idea that the college football playoff committee is like, well, we're not going to punish teams for a loss in their conference championship. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why not? That's part mm-hmm. of the, you got to take the whole point of the playoff committee is to take the entire picture, take the snapshot, and then go from there. And if you're going to say, well, if you're 10-2 and you made the playoff and you lose like Alabama might do, well, then you're still in anyway. That's just not right.
Pete, Ohio State, the last tune-up before Michigan in a week's time. They've got Rutgers. The line is 32.5 points. Can I interest you, given Ryan Day has piddled down his leg a few times heading into Michigan, I will ask you, is there any element of this game you think could be a trap game for Ohio State?
Don't get Julian Sand hurt. Like that right now, it's the Carson Beck SEC championship game of last year thing. All these games. Whether it's Georgia playing Charlotte, don't get Gunnar Stockton hurt. Don't get Ty Simpson hurt against Eastern Illinois. Don't get your starting quarterback hurt before it really, really matters. So for Ohio State, all you care about is get out of this clean. You're not going to lose to Rutgers. And if anything, you come in, you do it, workmanlike. They've been clinical all year. The one thing I will say about this team even more than last year's team, though, is it knows what it is. It doesn't have to go for style points. It doesn't care about that. It's like get in, get the win, work on what you need to do, and just move on. It's a weird way, even though it's younger, it's a far more confident looking team than last year's team. So like just get in. Rutgers is not going to stop anything you're going to want to do. So just get it over with fast and get Sand and Smith and all those guys on the sidelines as fast as humanly possible.
All right, Pete, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week as we will be tuning up for, of course. Actually, no, we won't. Next Thursday is, maybe I'll talk to you before next Thursday.
So we can't do Shedeur Sanders MVP talk next week?
Well, we definitely can. We're definitely going to have to get you then before Thursday because I forgot it was Gobbler Day. All right, buddy, be good.
Thanks, Pete.
Later, guys.
Pete Futek. I will say with a little bit of an ankle break there, Pete has been on about what a great, Shedeur, that's the quarterback. Go to Shedeur. What murder? Basically dogged Dylan Gabriel several times as well with us. So I'm like, well, this is an easy one to tee up. What do you think about Shedeur on Sunday? He'll be awful. Well, okay.
I mean, that's what Pete does. The heart of Pete Futek is zigging when everybody else is zagging. So it's that part of it is hardly a surprise. I almost think, in a way, he's defending Shedeur, though.
I'll be terrible?
I'll explain. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he goes through Well, he goes through all the other quarterbacks, and he talks about how they need time and how we can't expect anybody to be good, and doing it after a week and a half is insane. But basically what he's doing is giving anyone that enters the NFL their very first start, he is giving them the old Peter Lynn pass of sorts. Mm. He's like, J.J. McCarthy stinks? Of course he did. No one could expect him to be good right away. Caleb Williams, who Pete has called one of the most gifted college quarterbacks he's ever seen, he struggled for a whole year, and people in Chicago were complaining about it, and he's like, you have to give this one a little bit more time. And he went through example after example of how ridiculous this conversation has exactly gotten. The idea that after one game on Monday, people are going to try to do victory laps the same way people tried to do victory laps after a half game of football, which I think we both agree is also pure and utter insanity.
So what I understand is, if Shedeur goes out there, puts up 275, three touchdowns, maybe only one turnover, and the Browns win by 10 points, you won't be taking a victory lap?
Pete is saying, this is what Pete is saying, okay? Pete is saying that is not the expectation that should be had. Basically, uh-huh. He's calling him like the greatest quarterback to ever exist if it does pull it off. He, in many ways, and people that think the way that Pete is trying to explain this here, they're acting as if this is almost a win-win of sorts for Shador and he can't lose.
I'll ask
you
again.
And I know that's not entirely true. I know that there is a loss here for Shador if it doesn't go well.
We're setting what Pete said over here off to the side.
Well, we were talking about Pete's comments.
But you made a very valid comment.
Within the context of what Pete was trying to pull off there.
You made a very valid comment about victory laps on Monday.
Yeah.
Can I get you to give me a guarantee that if Shador looks really good in the Browns win, you won't take a victory lap on Monday?
There'll be no victory laps. It'll be very nice. I'm not saying it won't be nice. There'll be no victory laps. Not a game and a half into this whole entire thing. You can't do it a game and a half in. That's insane. You can't do that.
I don't believe you.
You can't do that. Well, I guess we're just going to have to see him throw for 275 and then wait for my reaction on Monday, okay? Will I wear a Shador jersey in here on Monday? Probably.
Yeah.
But that's not a victory lap,
no,
friends.
No. That's just you were going to wear that anyway.
It's in my closet.
The rest of the laundry was dirty.
I couldn't find anything else to wear that day if he, in fact, throws for 275.
I keep getting ridiculously close to what murder? He's a great guy.
But there is that context that exists. There. This should not be the expectation for anybody that enters the NFL that your very first game you throw for 275, two touchdowns, and you light the scoreboard up. That's why if he does it, there will be a sense of excitement, not from the idea that you could take a victory lap. That's true. And I know I promise you I won't. But the idea that you are doing something that NFL quarterbacks just don't do. And so there has to be a tip of a cap and acknowledgement that accompanies that.
I think the only thing I would say to what Pete was saying
So now we're back on Pete's comment.
Well, yeah, because I don't think he realizes how bad the Browns have normalized awful play. So, 275, three tutties, no turnovers. That would be insane if that happens because it's just not likely. But him playing bad is not him playing bad in Kansas City. Him playing bad in Cleveland would be less than what Dylan Gabriel did, right?
Yeah.
Like Dylan Gabriel, there are people out there who are like, Dylan Gabriel actually looks good because he just didn't look horrible. And by the way, they were wrong. He was awful. But I think my point is, I think the bar is set so low for quarterbacks here that the classification of Shador looked good is 175 yards, two tutties, and no INTs.
Very fair. Yeah, very fair. But the other side of this, too, is that he doesn't have the same leash that Pete was describing for some of these other quarterbacks either. So he doesn't get the, hey, it didn't go well in your first start and a half, so we just get to maybe wait and revisit this conversation in a year and 12 starts later. He doesn't have that luxury. He just doesn't.
Yeah, Kay on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat said something of the stats, you can have a bad stat line, but winning is all that matters. I don't think for Shador. I really don't.
No. You can win this game where Judkins goes crazy, the defense makes a lot of plays, you win the game, and if Shador doesn't look the part, I got news for you guys. He's not going to be coming out there the next week.
Like the Miami game. Dylan Gabriel looked bad. He had 18 passes, and six of them stunk, or six of them were incompletions that should have been touchdowns or something otherwise. But because he won and because the Browns won, people were like, I don't know why. Of course he played well. He won.
Well, it was 13 of 18.
But that's Dylan Gabriel.
It was 13 of 18, and he had two touchdowns and zero interceptions. We debated that game.
Yes.
We debated that game with good reason, I think. And that's it's an important thing to note as we look into this game. How it looks does matter, and that can help Shador out in many ways. It can also hurt Shador as well.
Now, that being said, are you ready for some, I would say, brown and orange colored glasses content here?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm always ready for that.
Well, Nick Costos, who's always on Baskin and Phelps. I think he hosts an hour every day. Nick Costos was on with the...
he hosts an hour on Baskin and Phelps?
Yeah, yeah. They go get some lentil. They get... there's a great soup spot down the road, maybe a coffee.
They just take off and
some
then,
ham warmers.
And then Nick is just out here just yelling.
Yeah, and then Dan will pitch in.
Give me the lines.
Like, hey, Dan, hey, Nick, what about this? And then Costos will riff for another 15, 20 minutes. And then eventually he wraps up and the Midday boys get back into it. But Nick Costos was on Middays today and basically said success in Cleveland.
Yes, they're 0-5 on the road, but I don't know. Like, it feels like a lot of those teams are good, and then they lost a fluky game to the Jets. So I don't necessarily put a ton of stock into that. And I'll just repeat what just on the Browns overall. Like, I actually think, like, this season is a success for Cleveland. So many of the young players are good. Like, how good is Schlesinger? He's going to be an All-Pro. Like, Fannin's good. Like, Mason Graham's good. This is exactly what you wanted this season to be. The Browns were never going to the playoffs this year. And I was consistent in the offseason with you guys. Like, the quarterback of the future is not on the roster. And now you've set yourself up with multiple first-round picks in next year's draft, like a good young nucleus of players, and now you can go get your quarterback and really cook with gas next year. I actually think, like, this season is like a smashing success for the Cleveland Browns, even if the record doesn't show it.
All right, one, I just realized that Nick Costos sounds like my buddy Bill Ryder on helium and cocaine.
Ryder than you.
Yeah. It's twice as fast, and his voice is twice as high as well than Bill. But Bill has better opinions than whatever that just was. There's never a season in the NFL that you can say is a smashing success if you're on pace for three wins if you're lucky.
Yeah, when you start off the commentary saying you're 0-5 on the road, but some of those teams look good. Like what do we do? You started off with 0-5 on the road. That's hard. It felt like the commentary from someone that, as Nick is, he's not in Cleveland. He's in New York, and he's not really worried about the Browns outside of for when he does the hits here, and that's okay. I don't begrudge him for that in the slightest bit. I think he does a good job. I think his research is always top notch. I like Nick overall. I do, but like that missed it. That felt like something you could say for something that you're not really committed to or not really, living and dying every single day, which he's not.
Yeah. Now, if you said in the next seven games, the Browns went 3-for-4, so basically play 500 ball, and across, don't get blown out again, so you still end up just a 5-win team. But either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders makes you think twice about drafting a quarterback next year, then you can start using words like success. If you found a starting quarterback in this in this thing, even if you won five games, that's but two wins, you might get to three wins. I mean, even from here, if they go 0-7 down the stretch and they still look at Shedeur and go, that's a quarterback of our future, it still cannot be fully successful until we see him win at this level.
Basically, what Nick was saying was that the draft picks were a smashing success. If he would have reframed it as that, of like, the season stinks, the season's going nowhere, obviously this isn't great, you might clean house at the end of the season, you might keep everybody, but you might clean house at the end of the season, but hey, your draft picks, how about that draft class for 2025? That's essentially what he was trying to say.
Yeah, I know, but even that, it's like, the expectation is you draft well. I mean, if you have four top 70 picks, the expectation is all of those. This is another way that the Browns have just normalized bad football. Like
in the Andrew Berry time, we haven't seen him have a draft like this, and so I think that's why it's getting a lot of attention.
No,
right,
definitely
now.
Fair. And I'm not trying to take away credit for this. I just think in proper context, like, the Baltimore Ravens usually have three or four guys that come in as rookies and play really well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Even if, and now in fairness, I think between Graham, Schlesinger, Judkins, and Fannin, I don't think they're just four guys playing really well. I think all four guys, at the very least, are good starters in the NFL. So that's maybe a little bit on
but what is interesting, though,
upper quartile of it.
I do see more people talking the way that Costos is, not smashing success necessarily, but when they rank out these teams, they're not like, they don't look at us the way they look at the Saints. They don't look at us the way they look at the Raiders right now. They don't look at us the way that they look at the Jets. Like, some of these really, really awful NFL teams, there's at least the idea of like, yeah, okay, you're not winning games, but you don't feel like the worst of the NFL. And it shouldn't make you feel any better that you're not the absolute dead last of the NFL.
Are they watching the games? Because I don't think they are.
No, they're not. That's the point, though. That's the point. Like, Costos doesn't, he watches them because he's a gambler, but he's not invested in every minute of every Browns game. There's a million games going on.
Do you think maybe he just had a really nice bet come in on the Browns, and that's just added some, curried some extra points for him.
I'd love to know what bet it was, unless it was like sack total for Myles Garrett. I want to know. I want to know what bet he's having. But yeah,
prop bet.
The gambler brain is wired that way, Nick, where it's like one big bet on Myles Garrett would be enough for him to be like, hey, this is a pretty good situation.
Took
that they
the under in one
here.
Of those early ugly games and never forgotten it.
It's a pretty good situation.
Made it whole in the end. 216-474-0092. Nick Costos saying this season for the Browns, he would consider it a smashing success. I think you're right. I think that's something you can say if you're not watching every single game. I think the draft picks, the first four draft picks, that's been great. I think certainly the defense has really given you reason to hope in the future. I just think like everything else can't be diminished because of a couple of positive things with the Browns.
For sure. And I don't think we're doing it, but it is interesting.
I think the Browns might. I think that's the concern. Well, I think Jimmy Haslam might say
the Browns
smashing
might.
Success.
And the sad part is you're noticing the narrative across, whether it's Colin Cowherd tweeting on what is that, Monday or Tuesday, talking about how positive things were for the Browns. And then you got Costos over here. Like, they're going to try to get that out there as often as they can.
I might have a new side hustle to consider. We talk about it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Get the latest from Browns practice throughout the week right now on our YouTube channel. I don't know why.
They got me.
I don't know.
I turned on my mic to speak first, and then I looked at JP, and he looked like he wanted to do a read, and I was like, I kind of motioned to him, and he just went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody
just
was
a read. I don't know. Very excited
to do a read there.
You're so excited. Daryl Ryder recapping each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as on-the-field action. Subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan channel on YouTube now to get all the latest from Daryl Ryder and the Browns all throughout the football season.
The lead coming up in 15 minutes. Obviously, we'll continue to talk a lot about the Browns as they get ready for the Raiders game on Sunday. The Lakers thing's wild, though. Just as a quick aside, the fact that Jeannie Buss is going to remain the team governor and oversee day-to-day operations of the team under new ownership. It was supposed to be the case with Mark Cuban, then it wasn't allowed.
Which is kind of what we thought would happen here with Jeannie as well, where you just kind of then get shuffled out the way it's supposed to go.
But what's wild is that Mark Walters, the new Lakers owner, fired her brothers, Joey and Jesse. And the only way you can take that, no matter whether you cover the Lakers day by day or not, is that Jeannie totally was like, hey, just so you know, when you, as part of buying this, can you get rid of those idiots? Because I don't know if you've done any reading into the Buss family squabble since Dr. Jerry Buss died.
Well, yeah.
It's intense.
It is intense. Well, and I have that stupid Netflix show that was basically like trying to be the Buss family. But
that's part of the tension.
I have that in my brain because the brothers were just such nincompoops.
Yep.
They were such idiots. And so in my mind, I just think to myself, I'm like, of course they got fired. I'd fire them too.
Also,
bunch of idiots.
But of course they're pissed because that's how they're being portrayed in a show that her sister's kind of spearheading. That's not great. Still funny.
Very funny.
Very funny. Now, that being said, I got three kids. I got one that's a couple years away from college.
Oh, I thought you were just going to surprise me right there. I got one on the way. I
no.
was like, Nick!
Now, don't you put that evil on
what
me, Ricky
happened?
Bobby. I think you know what
one got
happened.
Past the goalie.
I think you would know what happened. Big Daddy likes to get down. That's what would happen. So I'm always looking like, you know, hey, is there a way to pick up extra scratch? Is there a way, mm-hmm. Any other way to kind of just get a little extra cheddar, given it's expensive on these streets to have a family? Somebody sent something. A family member sent this to me last night, and I think they were joking, but I'm not entirely sure. Have you seen the mukbanging videos?
Okay, so I'm aware of what mukbanging is, but I almost feel like we need to... Should I give you my definition of it first, and we'll see if it's close?
Yes, because I think it's important that the audience is going to hear mukbanging, and if you're not familiar with it, you might take it one way. What is your definition?
It sounds very, very sexual. Yes,
it does.
It does. So it's just you basically eat a lot of food on the internet, and you live stream it, and then you talk as you eat.
Yes. Yes, that's pretty much my understanding of it.
Okay, and I've seen it now. Does it have to be a live stream or no? Like, do the people I watch on TikTok that have a bunch of food that they eat?
I'm pretty sure it's got to be. I don't know. It has to be live stream, but I'm pretty sure like that's the most popular content.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, but it's a lot of food. It's an absurd amount of food.
So there is the extreme eating, which is one thing that can be done. There's like different, there's like if you have like a spicy food challenge, there's like a bunch of little buckets.
That falls into it as well.
So you can do a lot of like different stuff.
Basically,
ASMR.
Food is your genre.
Yes.
Okay. So,
but oh, by the way, lifestyle stuff within the food.
Can you be sports talking food, or does that not work?
So they do have storytelling and lifestyle content as well.
But like, can you be exclusively like I'm the sports mukbanger?
I think you can.
I don't know. Like, does it play?
I wouldn't just want to limit myself to just sports mukbanging.
Well, so you know how, like, now they have live streams of people that, like, sleep.
Yeah.
So, like, people do live streams of them just sleeping for 8 hours, and then they get up, and then that's the live stream, and people, like, thousands of people will watch these things. So, like, people love just, I don't know, just kind of watching people go about their day. For some reason, it's wildly fascinating to people.
You know, this is not too far. I've said, at Nick Wilson does. The idea for an OnlyFans for Nick Wilson, I wouldn't make the tawdry content. I'm a married man and happily so, but I could see myself having a OnlyFans where I just shirtless eat pizza and talk sports.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
I think this might be the less.
I don't know that you need an OnlyFans for that. Can't you just do the mukbanging on Twitch or something?
The subscription based part of this would be very nice too.
Well, we can give out super chats. We can do all sorts of things.
$12.99 a month to watch Nick do this with great regularity. That feels a little more committed. But I think the fan might have a problem with me on OnlyFans, where if just on Nick Talk, and Nick Wilson says if I mukbang. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
No, we agree with that. Yeah, I feel like you being on OnlyFans might cross a line that people aren't interested in. Not like the people here that work. I'm sure there's people that are interested in what you do on OnlyFans. I mean, like the people, like your employment here might have an issue with that.
Yeah, because there would be people interested, just so you know.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I mean,
obviously.
Look at these shoulders.
Not discrediting
kind of
that.
Kind of chest hair, you know what I'm talking
obviously
about
obviously, there's some people that would be interested. But
I like the way you said some people there. But
the bosses here may not be 100% interested in that. So, all right, so how do we start this venture for yourself then?
I mean, I think I just get two pizzas and
just see how it goes.
Go on Nick Talk Live. Yeah.
All right, that's a good start.
Do you think they'd be mad here? If they, because they're going to hear mukbang, they're going to get concerned because they don't know what it means, and then they're going to see the content.
Well, I don't think you have to like outwardly say mukbanging all the time on it. I think it just kind of it just exists, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd never heard the guy in the video that somebody sent me, which is where this suggestion came from. He didn't use the M word at all.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Just go on there and just eat and see what happens.
He treated it kind of like a pejorative when somebody popped up calling it. Oh, this is my favorite M-word content. He seemed a little offended by it.
I mean, if anything, you just seem like you're eating a lot of food while just talking about sports.
Yeah, like I feel like the only real change for me here is there's just be a camera on. I eat a lot of food.
There's not much of a difference between the breaks, what's going on.
I mean, we edit ourselves a little bit there.
Well, I mean, we eat.
Yeah.
We talk.
By the way.
That's the show.
I don't think I'd be first on the moon on this. I think Baskin and Phelps already do it.
That's right. I got a lot of videos of the three of them, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw that in the mix.
Yeah.
Baskin already waves to the camera.
I was going to say, like, would Andy get mad at me for stealing his bid if I'm out here monetizing mukbanging?
If you're not, somebody should be. I guess people are.
I don't know what that response means.
Well, people obviously are doing it. It's got a term on the internet. People are obviously doing it.
216-474-0092.
I'm not in depth on a mukbanging conversation.
I feel like you're on. Baristas doing stripteases.
I don't qualify. Here's why I don't qualify. In order to be a good mukbanger, you either have to be. I don't want to offend you now. You either have to be a larger human.
Oh, no!
Thank you. You've given me the pass to say fat. So you either have to be fat.
The what pass?
The Peterlin pass.
Oh, darn right.
The Peterlin pass.
Or you got to be one of those guys that looks so incredibly in shape that it feels like when they're doing it, it's like, oh, geez, I didn't even know this guy ate food ever. You know, but they're like so jacked and they're so in shape that it becomes comical that they're eating that much food. And so you got to be one or the other, and I don't fall in either one of those buckets.
One suggestion is I might not be fat enough to be a very successful mukbanger. Right?
Wow.
They're like, you're a big guy, but you're not that fat. I don't know what that fat is.
Now you just put me in a no-win situation.
What's your answer? Am I too fat, or am I the right amount of fat?
I think you're the right amount of fat. I think you're the perfect amount for a mukbanging experience.
Yeah. 216.
I want to see a guy like you be a mukbanger.
216-474-0092.
The perfect amount. I look at the screen on there, and I'm like, this fits.
Is this a viable option?
This makes sense to me.
To make a little extra... A little extra cheddar. Keith just texted us. I was just about to text you a shot at the midday show. I was going to say, they want to get on the internet, right? They want to be broadcast from 10 to 2. Maybe if we agree to put some of their mukbanging stuff out there, they might also.
Also not fat enough is the problem there. Baskin and Phelps not fat enough for this discussion. What was that look?
Well, because you got to, take off the shirt and show the belly. Both of them have a little belly.
Oh, they're not fat enough. Pew, 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 pew.
You're not fat enough.
You want to see somebody that is like knocking on the doorstep will this burger take him out?
This is like sumo wrestling. Sumo wrestling. You've got the heavyweights, you got the bantam weights. Jeff and Andy would be bantam weight guys of
mukbang. That's a 12-pack of Krispy Kremes, and I don't know if he's going to make it through all 12. That's what you want with your mukbangers.
Well, thank you for your vote of confidence. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.